Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, saints. Praise the Lord. I do pray that you can hear me. We're having all kinds of technical difficulties this morning, but God is a good God. We rejoice. We are exceedingly glad. We are blessed to be a part of this wonderful fellowship of Friday learners. And I appreciate your presence. And though I'm not able at this time to put everyone on speaker because my computer won't let me log in, so I'm only prayerful that this is actually transmitting. So we want to get out our pencils, our piece of paper, our notebooks, because we want to start our journey through the fruit of the Spirit, the soil, and the heart condition. So I do encourage you to join me now at a look at those things. I text everybody or email, preferably everyone's paperwork, so that they would have a frame of reference for what we're going through, what we're going over. You definitely can use the resource book of Philip Keller, A Gardener's Look at the Fruit of the Spirit. We'll certainly be making reference to that. Looking at what the Word says, is simply what the Word says about the fruit of the Spirit. As we study in, praise the Lord, we're in, hallelujah, it's hard going blind. And now you are all live. Good morning, good morning, good morning. As we look at the fruit of the Spirit, as we ended with the work of absolute surrender, we were brought to a clearer picture of Holy Spirit's job, Holy Spirit's ministry in our life, and the fact that we need to be aware of how our fruit should look, because it is an indication of His presence in our life. And as with the doctor who does give us physicals, and they check different vital signs for assessing the health of our bodies, the same is true for our spiritual life. And because we're creatures of habit, we often just go through on autopilot. It'll be all right, or we ignore those little signs, different signs, even on a physical level, until they become major. But what the author shared with us is moment by moment, day by day, let us surrender to the eyes of the Lord on us as He searches us, and that which is not in harmony with Him, He will reveal it to us. And let us receive that revelation. We are missing clues sometimes by just assessing the fact that I'm human or no one is perfect. And the author, Andrew Murray, indicated for us that those can no longer be our excuses, because now we have an understanding of who's in charge. It is God who wills and empowers us to do His good pleasure. So to do that and to say that is to indicate that He has failed, and God will never fail. And so as a result, we are given a benchmark. We're given this group of virtues that should start manifesting themselves, some fruit, much fruit, and to the point where they will know that we are Christians by our love. I had that song, but I wasn't able to downloaded today, but that's going to be our theme for the duration of this study. And they'll know because of the love. So if someone can get Galatians 5:22-23 in one of the more flowerful versions, that will be great. So that we can look at it. We also want to look at the seed, the sower, and the seed. So if someone can get that, it was Matthew 15. Maybe wrong here. Correct me if I'm wrong. I do hope you guys are able to communicate. Can you say good morning? I'm not sure if
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay. Yeah,
good morning.
Okay. Wonderful, wonderful. Okay. I just wasn't sure if it was working right. That's Matthew 13. Sorry. Parable of the soil. It was so fascinating when we studied the soil. It gave us such insight, I thought, the gardeners look at the 23rd, at the fruit of the Spirit, when it gave us a breakdown of the soil and what they indicated. And we know that we can read the whole sermon from the 3rd through the 23rd verse of the 13th chapter of Matthew, which is where I would like to start today, because it starts, the seed starts with the soil, in the soil, and that's from where the increase is going to come. And we have to remember that that soil is the heart. That's where we're going. All of this is going to tie together, and we're going to get this glorious picture, this illustration that Christ was giving to the people and to his disciples when he was sharing with them. So when you have it about the 13th, we'll read that first, and then we'll read the Galatian scripture, Galatians 5, about the fruit. Okay? So someone that has that in one of those flowery versions, if you would be so kind.
You say Matthew 13, the 3rd verse?
Yes, ma'am.
Starting at the 3rd verse?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, let me see if I can see. Okay. Three. Okay. This is the Everyday Bible.
Okay.
Then Jesus used stories to teach them many things. He said, a farmer went out to plant his seed. While he was planting, some seed fell by the road, and the birds came and ate it all up. Some seed fell on rocky ground where there wasn't much dirt. That seed grew very fast because the ground was not deep. But when the sun rose, the plants dried up because they did not have deep roots. Some other seed fell among thorny weeds, which grew and choked the good plants. Some other seed fell on good ground, where it grew and produced a crop. Some plants made 100 times more. Some made 60 times more. and some made 30 times more. You people who can hear me, listen. The followers came to Jesus and asked, why do you use stories to teach the people? Jesus answered, you have been chosen to know the secrets about the kingdom of heaven, but others cannot know these secrets. Those who have understanding will be given more, and they will have all they need. But those who do not have understanding, even what they have will be taken away from them. This is why I use stories to teach people. They see, but they don't really see. They hear, but they don't really hear or understand. So they show that the things Isaiah said about them are true. You will listen and listen, but you will not understand. You will look and look, but you will not learn. For the minds of these people have become stubborn. They do not hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might really understand what they see with their eyes and hear with their ears. They might really understand in their minds and come back to me and be healed. But you are blessed because you see with your eyes and hear with your ears. I tell you the truth. Many prophets and good people wanted to see the things that you now see, but they did not see them. And they wanted to hear the things that you now hear, but they did not hear them. So listen to the meaning of that story about the farmer. Excuse me. What is the seed that fell by the road? That seed is like the person who hears the message about the kingdom but does not understand it. The evil one comes and takes away what was planted in that person's heart. And what is the seed that fell on rocky ground? That seed is like the person who hears the teaching and quickly accepts it with joy. But he does not let the teaching go deep into his life, so he keeps it only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the teaching he accepted, he quickly gives up. And what is the seed that fell among the thorny weeds? That seed is like the person who hears the teaching but lets worries about his life and the temptation of wealth stop that teaching from growing. So the teaching does not produce fruit in that person's life. But what is the seed that fell on the good ground? That seed is like the person who hears the teaching and understands it. That person grows and produces fruit, sometimes 100 times more, sometimes 60 times more, and sometimes 30 times more.
Amen.
That was
Amen.
Up to verse 23.
Amen. 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 And as we hear what Christ is sharing with the people, with his disciples, we heard a few things that he shared. One of the things he's saying is that, you know, this is for those that are really seeking me. They're the ones that's going to really get it. They're the ones that are going to be able to embrace it as Holy Spirit brings it to them. Not everybody is going to get it. There are many people who are going to read it, and it's just words, because this is part of that intimate fellowship, that surrendering all, that one another that he is establishing in the lives of those that diligently seek him. And so he shares some truth that will set us free. This is Christ giving us truth that will set us free. So the first type of soil was wayside soil. And he understood, because he endured every temptation that is known to man, Christ endured them. So he understands how we think, how we function, how we focus, and how we process our actions and how our beliefs are formed. He understands that. And the Holy Spirit has given us these awesome writers to pen this information so that we are able to digest it in a way that will change our lives. So when he said wayside, pathway worn, that's have you ever seen a path through the woods? You can tell a path that's been used over and over. There's nothing growing on it. It's impacted. It's almost as hard as cement because it's been walked on continuously. It is a trail that is the most popular. It is a pathway that has the most traffic on it. And so he's painting this picture. There is a ground in our hearts that have become hardened because of the many influences that have impacted it. And it's almost become impacted where nothing can get through because it's been worn on so much. It has been so influenced by so many resources. And unfortunately, those that are not in line with the Word of God. And as a result, nothing is growing out of that pathway, that wayside where the seed has fallen. And so the word, the truth, those things that we have, they come in our lives, but they're just on our lives. They're not a part of us. And so they're easily plucked away and the bird takes them. And that's interesting because what it's saying is it exists. It has purpose. It has essence, and something or someone has recognized it, and the bird takes it and flies away. And so it's for us to understand that kind of soil comes from us using influences that are really lies. They are not the truth of God, but rather they're the footprint of man and society and people and customs and traditions. They're the things that we hear and that we listen to. They're the things that we call entertainment, our pursuit of pleasures for our own personal ambitions. You know, these are our private thought lives. That's what distracts us. This is that wayside soil. And it will not embrace the seed of truth because it has a negative origin. It has an origin that it is coveting for itself. We are choices. We are the sum of the choices that we have decided to allow our minds and our emotions to be impacted by and exposed by. And as long as we do that, the Word of God is not going to get in. That word is going to sit and then be consumed. And then it says that some fell on stony places where there is some truth, but there's just little surface for that truth to catch hold to because there are these boulders, these are stony, these rocks, these stones. And so what are they representing? And the author in Philip Keller shares with us that it's unbelief is our refusal to actually believe the Word of God has an answer for our situation. It's just unbelief. And unbelief takes the form of three types of rock. Unbelief, misguided belief. And one form is bedrock. And these are slabs of rock underneath a deceptive small amount of soil. Unbelief, faith in the wrong foundation. Faith in our church experiences, faith that has caused us to become cynical and bitter and unforgiving. And we believe in those things. These are things that we cannot be easily convinced to let go of. And as long as that is there, then the word cannot saturate and go through the soil. Or when it goes through, it hits those barriers. And then the second is layers that have been broken up, and so they're stony. Soil is in it loosely around the boulders. So the boulders or the bedrock has been broken up, and now if there is soil that's between them and things. You ever seen a rocky mountain where you can see a beautiful flower, a plant grows out in between rocks and boulders? And that's the kind of thing that this stony layer, the second layer, and the reason is because those stones represent disobedience. Because we are disobedient, we have not allowed the truth to become the foundational format for our soil. So we only have some soil, and it's squeezed between our attitude and our, not our attitude, but our disobedience. And the way we cause the soil to increase, to grow, to become more than the stone is as we exercise the truth that is planted in us. And as we believe it and exercise and obey it, then it would start to take over. And then the stones, the little gravel that sometimes the dirt is filled with. And he likens this gravel as ingratitude. Gravel has been grounded, and as a result, sand has formed. Sand, he likens to criticism, fault finding, and tearing down. And as these things are prevalent in our soil, in our heart, then the fruit that comes thereof will be spark. And then last, he says, some fell on thorns, amongst the thorns. Thorns sprang up and choked them. So the ground looked good, but the word was lost in weeds that choked the roots because trying to be the rulers of our own destiny and not having the power to bring it a path. And so as a result, the truth is choked by weeds, which is our own will. It is our own preferences that won't allow the truth to take root, the thorny soil. Our guideline for life was given in Matthew 6, what our attitude should be, one of gratitude for him and love for one another. And when that doesn't exist, then the soil of our hearts will be stony. And that's just a brief outline of the soil that our hearts' conditions find themselves in, and that's where we can look at the list of 33 precepts of, and it indicates the conditions of our heart. And when those are the conditions of our heart, then the fruit will not be as abundant as it should be. And yet we are encouraged from the abide in him, the gardener who is God, has made a commitment to us to prune us and to correct that which is in us that should not be, that's hindering the development of this fruit. And the development of the fruit is so that the world might know him through us. Any input? As you were studying and preparing.
Well, I was listening to you, and that is true because you do be, you say, what words do you use? But I use the word hurt because you don't have a relationship. So you tend to work when the word comes forth, or when you're reading it, it seems like it's just falling off because you're holding and hovering the hurt that you have or the unforgiveness that you have in your heart. So until you realize that you need Christ to help you remove that hurt, and then a lot of times I used to tell myself, well, it's something I had to go through in order to get further, but I had to convince myself or tell myself that it happened for a reason, even if to get closer to Christ. Or, but at the beginning, you don't see that. You're like, these people here, you know, they have hurt me. I don't want to be bothered with them. You know, I'm tired of church, or I don't even feel like picking up my Bible, because your confidence, to me, is in man, and you don't have a relationship with Christ. If your relationship with Christ, you will not even look at that person because they're striving also. But until you get there, you don't even know that. You know, until the Holy Spirit reveals that to you, that they are people, too, that are striving also, regardless of what their title is or where they are in Christ and how long they've been in Christ, they're striving, too. And you have to realize that you're sinning also for the fact you're finding fault. And the Word of God tells us to make excuses for the brethren. And, you know, if you know the Word of God, the Holy Spirit will bring it back to your remembrance if you have read it 10 years ago. That's His purpose. But until you realize that those people are striving and the Word of God has begun to be choked up out of you, where you don't want to read or you don't want to go to church, or you have to realize that. And, you know, I just thank God, you know, for this right here, because it leaves on your mind, like when you hear other people talk, it just, validate what the Holy Spirit is really telling you. Hello?
Amen. Amen. Oh. And can you just speak up a little bit louder, too?
Oh, okay. What it is, I bought a Bluetooth. Let me take my Bluetooth off.
You're fading.
Okay, can you hear me now? Okay, that's what it was.
Oh,
I bought Bluetooth, walking through the house, doing stuff, and I'm like, okay.
Okay.
So did you get any of that?
yeah, we did. It was straining, yes, but, you know, it was like, you share the good stuff, so we want to be able to hear it good, okay?
Okay.
Amen. 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 And so, it is a process. It is a growing, and that's why He's committed to moment by moment, day by day, hour by hour, searching us and revealing to us, and then giving us the power to overcome as we surrender it to Him. We do our scriptures of promise for this morning. And as you were speaking, I was reminded, that's part of the joy of the process, even when we fall and we do find ourselves in those bad places, that He has made promises to us to make us complete. Looking at Hebrews 13:20-21, He says, "Now may the God of peace who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do His will, working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight, through Christ Jesus, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." And so He does. He works that through us as He reveals it to us, and we surrender to Him, and we realize the bitterness that's come, and we see the fruit that came, and it is not good fruit. And so as a result, He says He will make us complete to be able to do His good pleasure. Amen. Now my verse out of Hebrews, and the verse we have from we're doing Hebrews and Proverbs. Today is it says diligence is man's precious possession, and so it lets another promise. And he's saying, as you diligently seek me, and diligence is our most precious possession. That's the one thing that we are encouraged as his promises. Those that diligently seek me shall find me. Diligence becomes a characteristic and a virtue that becomes our most precious possession. Amen. I don't know if anybody else had their promises for today from the books in the Bible.
No, I was too busy.
Yes, I have.
Oh. Go ahead.
Okay. I had one from Hebrews 13. Yes.
Yes.
I had one from Hebrews 13:2, and it says, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware."
Amen. That's a very good motivator for us being mindful of the fruit that is coming, being mindful of how we treat one another. And we go back to that ministry of one another. Amen. Anybody else?
Yes.
Amen.
Someone else who's going to share?
I have to repent. I've been overwhelmed. I've been overwhelmed with other things. And I haven't even thought about the promises. So I repent.
All right. And he is faithful and just to forgive. And we serve a marvelous God. He is marvelous. And we will worship and thank him. Come into his presence with thanksgiving, as we humbly bow before him when we have not done all that we even want to do, let alone know to do. He is such a forgiving God. And so we don't want to be able to, weighing you down with work, but rather that it is our desire that this will facilitate the work that's assigned to our hands to do through the uplifting promises and love of God. And you know, we want to remember to, you know what, I don't care how busy we are, and I'm just as guilty as you are, and I have to repent as well. I cannot live without acknowledging his promises. They're my hope. They are our joy. And otherwise, we can get consumed in our own emotions and the weeds, really, because it's all weeds. If it's not the eternal, it's a weed. So I understand, Elder, and I'm just as guilty and repent. And yet, every time I turn back to it, it is such a joy, it's such a blessing. You know, and it's like, why? I'm not going to let the enemy, the Lord will not let the enemy rob me of that which he has for me. And as he says, my diligence is my most precious possession. And I do not want to, I want to guard it. I just want to guard it. Amen. And so as we acknowledge the promises of God that empower us to build our faith in him and what our faith is being built on, so that as we grow and as we mature, we will be proper representatives of the kingdom of God. And so as a result, we were given this fruit inspection. We thank Elder Deborah for bringing this into our world of study. It is a guide that is, and this is the resource tool in evaluating the fruit of the Spirit. And so we can go down each one. Yes. Something. Okay. So someone wants to read Galatians 5, 22 and 23. So we will see where this is a little business. Okay.
Yes, I have it from the Passion Bible, and it says, but the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you,
you know what?
Is divine.
Wait a minute.
Hello?
Yes. Start like at the 20th verse.
Start at the 20th? Okay. Hello.
Okay. I think it's around the 20th.
The 20th says, chasing after things instead of God, manipulating others, hatred of those who get in your way, senseless arguments, resentment when others are favored, temper tantrums, angry quarrels, only thinking of yourself, being in love with your own opinion, being envious of the blessing of others, murder, uncontrolled addictions, wild parties, and all other similar behavior. Haven't I already warned you that those who use their freedom for these things will not inherit the kingdom realm of God? But the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine love in all its varied expression, joy that overflows, peace that subdues, patience that endures, kindness in action, a life full of virtue, faith that prevails, gentleness of heart, and strength of spirit. Never set the law above these qualities, for they are meant to be limitless.
Meant to be what?
Limitless. L-I-M-I-T.
Limitless.
L-E-S-S.
Amen. Wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you. And so as a result, you've been given a fruit inspection, so let's take it together. I hope you have your pencils out, pens or something, so you can record it, because going forth, we want to compare. I don't know if any of you have it from before. We took it years ago, I think. And so we want to take it again today. And one of the things that was helpful was the questions that they asked on our fruit inspection, that you are to write down your answer as a number from 1 to 10, 1 being the lowest, and 10 meaning I am doing well. And so a lot of times you say, well, just what percentage do you think love, you express love? And people may say, you know, oh, just 70, 80%, just a few. But when you have to answer these questions that come alongside of them, so we probably won't finish this today, but we're going to read the fruit, and I'm going to give a brief definition of it, and then we will read the question, and then we will answer. Okay? So first we will read the fruit, which is love. It starts with love. Each of these characteristics of the Holy Spirit's active presence in our daily activity, okay? And that's the key, daily activities and actively present, okay? So the first one is love. These are some diagnostic questions to make sure we are healthy or to find out where our health is as it relates to the fruit of the Spirit. So love. This word for love doesn't refer to warm feelings, but to a deliberate attitude of goodwill and devotion to others. Love gives freely without looking for whether the other person deserves it, and it gives without expecting anything back. So how would you score? Love, I see all people. I see all people through the eyes of Christ. I have a deep compassion for the lost, the lonely, the weak, and the poor. I am magnanimous towards those who get in my hair, on my nerves, and I'm just adding that, or really bug me. I keep no record of wrong. I give selflessly sometimes until it hurts. Other people don't understand why I'm doing it. They question me, and I don't cave in. I go the extra mile. I'd rather forgive 20 injuries than avenge one. In other words, I'd rather forgive 20 events of hurting me than to avenge one. And God always comes first. So, in that list, on that number one, what can you give yourself? You don't have to tell, or you can tell if you want. It's up to you. But between 1 and 10, what do you give? Hello?
Can we have a sliding scale? No. Okay.
Yeah, you can slide it from 1 to 10. Yes. Okay. I don't know how long if you're able to answer that quickly, then we're moving on to joy. Oh wow, we thought love was good. Let's see what joy. Unlike happiness, joy is gladness that is completely independent of the good or bad things that happen in the course of a day. In fact, joy denotes a supernatural gladness given by God's Spirit that actually seems to show up best during hard times. This is a product of fixing our focus on God's purpose, and that's His promises, for the events in our life rather than on the circumstance. So can we see how the promises can help us get some better fruit inspection? So the question about joy. People know you for, or I'll say me, people know me for my joyous disposition even when there is a cause for grief. And there is a contagious radiance about us because the joy of the Lord is our strength. We remain strong and positive when things go wrong because we trust in God. We are quick to see the brighter side of things. We know that for our shattered plans and agendas, God has better plans. Our commitment, our contentment springs from the knowledge that God is sovereign and Jesus is coming again. That's just the bottom line. So how much joy do you have? From 1 to 10, how much joy do you have? Based on these definitions and these questions. Okay, let's go to peace. It is not the absence of turmoil, but it's the presence of tranquility, even in a place of chaos. It is a sense of wholeness and completeness that is content knowing that God controls the events of the day. So, for peace, God's peace rules our heart and our mind. We stay calm in disturbing situations because our eyes are fixed on Jesus. Exception, we enjoy wholesome and beautiful relationships all around us. Whatever relationships are strained or fractured, we take the initiative in moving towards healing and restoration. Taking the initiative is the key here. We see the dark spots in our own life and are quick to confess them. We are willing always to pay the price of being a peacemaker in a world of bruised relationships. A bruised relationship. So from 1 to 10, how do you stand in peace? Anybody that wants to jump in and share, you're free to.
I have this serious sliding scale going. When you start the conversation off, I'm at least have a D. But by the time you conclude, I don't even think all my scores so far equals 10.
Okay.
All right.
Honestly,
but
it's
insightful. It is extremely insightful to look at these different areas through the definition, because you have a working definition in your mind and in your experience, and then to look at them through these definitions actually shifts it a lot.
Absolutely. Okay. As Apostle was sharing, that's also part of what our problem is in our walk. We are defining. I saw it. There's a scripture. Oh, I can't do it. But it's in. I think it's Matthew. It's in Matthew. But the scripture. It was. Our words are defined by our heart. And not the dictionary. And so God doesn't use the dictionary to define his fruit. He uses his heart to define the fruit. And that's what we're to measure ourselves. Not so much the dictionary meaning, because we can manipulate that meaning quite well, which is why I believe the authors of these two studies have gone to the great detail of giving good examples of what is in the heart of God. And so we look now at patience. Other words that describe this fruit are leniency, long-suffering, forbearance, perseverance, and steadfastness. It is the ability to endure ill treatment from life or at the hands of others without lashing out or paying back. And so the question is, I never make hasty judgments or speak hasty words. I'm not quick at jumping to conclusions. I am patient with people when they fail or fall. I face opposition and discouragement with composure. I never give up. I keep cool while others are hot. I am not irritable or easily angered. My tolerance level is extremely high. I can put up with a lot. I accept people for who they are and not for how they perform. When I confront others, they feel I do it. I'm sorry. They feel I do so because I care.
Where'd you get this from? Yes, yes.
Is that Elder Deborah? Actually, this comes from.
I don't have any comment whatsoever. I'm just, you know, I'm just listening. I'm like, what is this?
Yeah.
Well, Minister Paulette, I find some of those bits and pieces out of each one, but when you read them, you know, maybe one part, but then the other part, it's very interesting.
Yes. And you know what? I think, and we'll stop here because I don't want to rush through these, and then, because they're so powerful, we do these four. One of the things that I realized is we do it, we go to a certain point and we stop. And so to a certain point, we're doing good, okay? And I believe that's the point at which we have surrendered to God. And the next part is the point, is starting at the place that he needs us to surrender to him, and we have not. But he's bringing it to the forefront of our knowledge now. You know, no one comes into the Christian life and gets a 10 on all these. No, it is a process. He says he does it day by day. I'm going to stop saying moment by moment. That's, you know, freaking people out. But, you know, day by day, hour by hour, he does this with us because it's a process of intimacy. And intimacy doesn't, it's not manufactured. It develops. And that's what he is developing us in his presence to even be able to enjoy his love. At some point, we don't even understand what his love is. And so when we look at a gift of the Spirit or the fruit of the Spirit of being loved, we think we have it, but we don't have the love that's in his heart. We have the love that's in the heart of maybe the best person we know or the person that we've heard about that we have to be. And we're going to get to that heart condition. I mean, this was bad. No, I'm going to say bad enough. But this was a powerful tool. The heart condition, it just calls us to be silent in the presence of God, to humble ourselves and understand there is no good thing in me, none, except but what Christ has to protect. Yes.
What is that scripture that you use all the time about something about the beast and the
The what?
You know the scripture that you use about like a beast built.
Oh, Lord Jesus, yes. Psalm 73.
And where is that scripture from?
Psalm 73. Let me tell you that. Hold on. Yes, Lord.
Because when you was doing this, it was like, wow, like not just coming to the altar, but realizing it's like, it is a day-by-day, moment-by-moment challenge, but just knowing that if you scoring so low that you got a long way to go. But God will get you there eventually.
Okay, hold on.
And then, Minister Paulette,
hold on one second. Hold on. Psalm 73, and starting let's see, where should I start? I'll start with the 11th verse. It says, they say, how does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in wisdom. barely, I have cleansed my heart in things and washed my hands and for the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I shall offend against the generation of thy children. When I sought to know this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I therein. Surely thou dost set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought to destruction? As in a moment they are utterly consumed with terror. As a dream when one awakens, O Lord, when thou awakens, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel and afterwards receive me to glory. And so that's where that scripture lies. And that is what pricked my soul. And I thank God for Holy Spirit bringing me to that truth. There is no good thing. And even though he brought me there, he reminds me daily, just as these assessments do. So, yes, Elder Roberta, you were going to say something?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
You just read from Psalm 73. Did you say
yes,
73?
Ma'am.
And
yes.
71? Okay. No, I was going to say, started what?
Oh, it starts at the, I started at the 11th, but you can start at the 15th.
Oh, you started at 11.
I start, yes.
I was going to. Okay, I was just going to say that the love part, when I looked at on the sheet here, it says, I see all people through the eyes of Christ. And so I said, no, I don't. And then say, I am magnanimous. I love this word towards those who get in my head. I say, nope, no, I don't. So I just scored myself a zero.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay.
There are some.
Because the most important is I see people through the eyes of Christ. So, I don't think I do.
No, you know, and that's what I was saying. There's some that we definitely, the part of the question is a zero for me. But there are parts that we do score. Because you have given that sin. God does come first. God always comes first. We just had to learn the always. He comes first, you know, in each one of these situations. We have to learn that. That's a process of learning. You know, acknowledging God in all your ways. That's a process of we have to learn the ways that, oh, you mean this too? Oh, okay. Oh, you mean this too? Oh, okay. And once we realize that, then we do. That's when we make that surrender. So that's why I say in part of these are areas that we have surrendered. You know, it may just be one little part, but it's something.
They're making it sound good.
Sour grapes, but it's there. Okay. And he is submitted to perfecting it. Yes. Yes. Someone else was speaking.
I was going to say, my door keeps popping open, I'm sorry, making noise. I just wanted to ask you if I could read that in another translation, what she just read.
Oh,
if
sure.
I can get my daughter to stay close so you guys can hear me. I'm sorry. All this background noise. And so I'm actually starting from the beginning as opposed to the first verse, because this is a different translation. It might help. But it won't be long. Truly God is good to Israel.
No, it's great.
To those. Okay, so this is the New Living. This is the New Living translation. Truly God is good to Israel, to those whose hearts are pure. But as for me, I almost lost my footing. My feet were slipping, and I was almost gone. For I envied the proud when I saw them prosper despite their wickedness. They seem to live such painless lives. Their bodies are so healthy and strong. They don't have troubles like other people. They are not plagued with problems like everyone else. They wear pride like a jeweled necklace and clothe themselves with cruelty. These fat cats have everything their hearts could ever wish for. They scoff and speak only evil. In their pride, they seek to crush others. They boast against the very heavens, and their words strut throughout the earth. And so the people are dismayed and confused, drinking in all their words. And this is where Minister Pat started at verse 11. What does God know, they ask? Does the Most High even know what's happening? Look at these wicked people enjoying a life of ease while their riches multiply. Did I keep my heart pure for nothing? Did I keep myself innocent for no reason? I get nothing but trouble all the day long. Every morning brings me pain. If I had really spoken this way to others, I would have been a traitor to you, to your people. So I try to understand why the wicked prosper. But what a difficult task it is. Then I went into your sanctuary, O God, and I finally understood the destiny of the wicked. Truly, you put them on a slippery path and send them sliding over the cliff to destruction. In an instant, they are destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. When you arise, O Lord, you will laugh at their silly ideas as a person laughs at dreams in the morning. The 21st verse, then I realized that my heart was bitter, and I was all torn up inside. I was so foolish and ignorant, I must have seemed like a senseless animal to you. Yet I still belong to you, and you hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, leading me to a glorious destiny, whom I have in heaven, whom have I in heaven but you. I desire you more than anything on earth. My health may fail and my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine forever. Those who desert him will perish, for you destroy those who abandon you. But as for me, how good it is to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my shelter, and I will tell everyone about the wonderful things you do. That's an awesome. That's an awesome song. But that's in the New Living Translation. It just makes for me. It just makes it easier for me to understand when I read them in like the Message or the CEV or whatever. Even than the King James. You know, I like the whole pomp and circumstance of the King James. But sometimes I don't really get what they mean. But that's an awesome
song
in there.
Yeah, that's my song. That converted my life, my church life, not my sinning life. You know, sinner, I was a sinner. But once I was in church, once I was in the family of God.
When you really need the help, right?
Exactly. Exactly. I love as much as the person I know that's full of love, but I didn't love as much as he loved. And that's what this song did to me. This is my story. Okay. It truly, truly is. And it's glorious because he is so merciful and he is so long suffering and all the, because he has all these virtues that come from the Spirit as fruit, and he's given them to us. He's given us opportunity to allow him to develop those things through us. And that's just phenomenal to me. And so I thank you, Minister Pat, for even bringing it up and reminding, because it's a good backdrop for looking at the fruit of the Spirit, for understanding where we really are. So we have stopped at a patience. We did the first four. Any insight that you have and want to give, and no matter how bad your score, remember that it is the gardener who's going to prune you and prepare you for, as he shared in Absolute Surrender, for some fruit, much more fruit, and much fruit. And so we're on the journey for much fruit. Hallelujah. And that's so that God will get the glory. And that's one of the prayers from Absolute Surrender for me, is that my life will reflect what the omnipotent God can do. The power of the omnipotent God formed from that beast to this empty vessel. And so that's a process ongoing. And so we do thank God for that and for you. And so any more insight into the first four fruits? Now we're going to start, and I don't want it to be overwhelming, but we will just be praying that Holy Spirit will show us how the lack of fruit in these four areas, and I don't know, maybe we should do one at a time, I don't know, but how the lack of fruit in just these four areas translates to the heart conditions, okay, that's on your, I hope everybody has the example of the 33 precepts of the heart, and how that translates into those. And so as a result, we will see God's answer for them, because Christ gave the answer on the Sermon on the Mount, because he knew that that was going to be a problem. He'd been here, done that, and overcame. Okay, well, he'd been here and didn't have to do that, and he overcame, and he's going to show us the way to do so as well, and how to do it with such joy that we will then live the abundant life. He came here and did all of that suffering and all of that he endured, not so that we could barely make it in, but we would make it in jumping and shouting and praising and worshiping his Father. He did it so that his Father would get glory. This is his gift to his Father, if you will. You know, a bride that honors him and worships him and has exalted him in the earth realm, as we are being prepared to be with him for what he's preparing for us. Hallelujah. Because it's two ways. Yes.
Do you get the 33 precepts of the heart? Where did you get it from?
It's in the Synoptic Gospels. It's in the back of the book, on the Synoptic Gospels by Paul Karin, and I made copies, and I'm sorry?
33 precepts of the heart?
No, it calls it the 33 precepts, but then it goes down and say the heart.
It's on page 136.
Huh? Yeah.
That's
on page 136.
Oh, the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount.
Yes, it's all from the Sermon on the Mount. Yes.
Okay.
It is the 33 precepts of the Sermon on the Mount.
All right.
But he presents them as heart conditions.
Okay.
So as he goes down, he'll say the heart is judgmental. But he's giving conditions that exist in our heart that cause us to not bring forth this fruit. Yes.
Right.
So if yes, it is the Sermon on the Mount, but I didn't know if there were other people online. If you don't have it, I can email you a copy of it. Because if you can't buy the book at the bookstore, so you would have to either go to their ministry. It's I can't remember the name of the ministry. I had a book in front of me right now. Oh yes, I do. Their ministry.
Oh, was it Zion Ministries? Okay.
Yes, Zion Christian Publication. So you technically would have to just go there and get it from them. But you don't necessarily need the whole book. It's really just the what's in the appendix at the back, where he kind of gives a graph of the Sermon on the Mountain by dividing it up into 33 parts that he entitles each part a condition of the heart. Well, you like a praying heart, an accepting heart, a perfect heart, a reverent heart, a faithful heart, a morally clean heart, a loving heart, a sold-out heart, a discerning heart. So he associates the precepts with the condition of the heart, which is, I just say, 33 heart conditions. Okay, so anyone that needs it, you know, if you'll just let me know, I can email it to you. Okay. So, next week we will continue down our list, starting with kindness. So be prepared. All right.
Overseer, where are we at in the scriptures? Because the promises. What are the books we're on for next week? Because I never think about that until you're on the call.
Oh, sure. I should share. Next week will be Ecclesiastes, and James, the book of James.
Okay. Thank you.
This will be.
And what book do you want us to look at? The Gardener, you say?
The
Gardener,
no,
Fruit
of
the Spirit. Are we looking at all of them?
Yeah. Well, we're not really. We're just making reference. Like today, we referenced the soil from that book.
Mm-hmm.
So just letting people know that's where it came from. You don't have to get it or read it or do it. I don't know if you have notes from when we did it. I'm looking at my notes from when we went through it. And I just felt like that they were to be reviewed in this process to get us to get a clearer, a bigger picture, you know, of just what really is going on the inside of us. So the kind of soil is the condition of the heart. And so if something is not 100%, that's why. And so we just, you know, whether it's our unbelief, our ingratitude, opinion of other people, disbelief or disobedience. And that's just the answer for it. And so the solution is, you know, to believe, to be obedient, and to be grateful. So we just want to tie in and see how, we're not tying it in, but just see how all of God's Word works together to bring perfection in the body. So, all right. So, if there's nothing else, then. Apostle has a request.
Thank you.
Apostle don't like the test.
I'm just saying, please write it and make it go.
What's she saying?
Apostle wants the test on the fruit inspection to be rewritten. Sort of.
You said something that our apostolic
apparently God gave it to her. She should do it.
Okay. So we will certainly take that under consideration as we pray, because as our prayer focus, because one of the prayer focus that Apostle prayed over today's class was that we would not hear information with past understanding, but we would have, what God gave me was virgin ears, as though we're hearing it for the first time. And so we don't have something we needed to fit in, but we will take it and allow it to bloom into what he wants us to have, that virgin ears, hearing it, not like, oh, yeah, I know that, yeah. And we kind of tune out, but rather hungrily listen for fear of missing something. So, praise the Lord, saints, and we will miss
I missed
that
prayer.
Yeah, praise God, she is our intercessor. She prays before the service comes on, and no matter where she is in the world, she always says a covering of prayer for the program, and I do thank God for that. And so she makes it, we can see if she'll do it live, but a lot of times she's not here.
Okay, so
we will enjoy the fellowship of the Holy Spirit and our worship to this week, this day, this time. And the next time, well, we just thank God. And see you next week.
Amen. God bless.
Amen.
Bye-bye.
God bless.